John 12:9-11. This closing paragraph of section is a throwback to chapter 11. It's a repeat, historically speaking, of the events there. And John has recorded it by the Spirit of God. The Spirit through John has recorded this for a purpose. The event, the episode, happened twice like this. It's a repeat. But John has recorded it, the Spirit has recorded it, to drive home the point to us. What am I talking about? A large crowd of Jews found out, that Jesus was at Bethany. And they came for two reasons. One, they wanted to see him. They knew that he had worked this miracle. He had raised Lazarus from the dead. He made the blind man see. He turned the water into wine and so on. But this resurrection of Lazarus meant that Jesus was so attractive to the people. They wanted to hear him and see him. So a large crowd of Jews came because of him. But not only because of him, but they actually wanted to look at Lazarus. He too was a center of attraction, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So we have a large crowd attracted by the miracle, by the sign, by the wonder, by the resurrection of Lazarus. Let me pause here. We've met this before. We met this in John 6. Crowds flock to Jesus as a consequence of the feeding of the thousands with the bread. And what did Jesus do in John 6? He preached a sermon which drove the vast majority away, demanding that the crowd eat his flesh and drink his blood. Not come just for the bread, not just come for the miracles, but to come for him and to receive him and to trust him and to rely upon him. That's what he was saying. Demanding that they trust him and build all their hopes and their confidence and their assurance upon him and upon him alone. And the vast majority of the crowd left him. It was too much. And we really got to eat the flesh of Christ and drink the blood of Christ, spiritually speaking. Remember, Peter gave that tremendous statement. Go away from you, Lord. You have the words of the eternal life. To whom shall we go? We can't go anywhere else. Of course, Christ has more than the words of eternal life. He is eternal life. But here we see something similar. In the crowd's gathering, we don't have the large discourse which drives them away, but the cross is going to drive them away very soon. Within a few days, the cross itself will mean that all will desert him and flee. But here at the moment, a large crowd is coming, attracted by the miracle. But here is a warning. There are some who think that if we could see miracles, we should see conversions in droves. That is not necessarily so. It wasn't so in Christ's day. These signs, anyway, were for the purpose of vindicating Christ, vindicating the gospel, and illustrating the gospel. But I think it's fair to say, this is my view, that the large crowd gathering are really gawking, looking at the externals, and the vast majority have missed the point. Anyway, a large crowd gathers to watch and see and gaze at Lazarus and Jesus. But we also read in verse 11, on account of Lazarus, on account of this resurrection of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Now, I've explained time and again that there is a difficulty in the Gospels when it says that the Jews believed. The evidence, so many times, within a short while, is that they did not truly savingly believe. But let us take it at face value here. Let us hope that it is so. It's just not a nominal faith. It's not just a gawking faith, as it were. But really it is a trust in Christ. It's not just a mental assent. Oh, this is a man he raised from the dead. No, no, no. That there is a real faith in Christ. In the terms of John 6, they really do feast upon Christ and trust him and receive him and welcome Christ and his gospel and salvation. Let us hope that that is what the meaning is here, the fundamental point here. We know that they put their faith in him. Let us hope that it is a saving faith. But then we have a third reaction. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well as Christ, of course. Why? Because on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. And as I say, this is a throwback to chapter 11. Stifle the evidence. Get rid of the evidence. Deny the truth. Why? Because we want to protect ourselves and our religion and our history and our tradition above all ourselves. And so we have these three reactions. Spectators, believers, and haters. In truth, there are only two reactions to Christ, for and against. There's either saving faith and trust, real welcome of Jesus. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. He gave the right, the privilege, the authority to become the children of God. John 1, 11 to 13 speaks of this. So we have it here. In the midst of this swelling tide of crowd of people, there really are only two main reactions. There are those who do trust Christ. But the alternative, however it's dressed up, really amounts to hatred of Christ. Stifle the evidence. Destroy the evidence. Reject the evidence. Ignore the evidence. Whatever might be said. But either receive Christ or reject him. Which is it for you, my friend? Where are you in this passage? Where are you in verses 9 to 11? Are you a mere spectator, a tender on Christ? You go to church, you nominally a Christian. You're interested. Is that all it is? You're curious. Or are you, at this very moment, putting your faith, your trust, your reliance, your assurance, your hope, your confidence, you're staking your all in and on Jesus Christ? Oh, may it be so. Or are you rejecting him, fundamentally stifling the evidence, refusing him? Which is it for you, my friend? I can extend it. Where are you in verses 1 to 11? We have Mary here, worshipping, loving, honoring, glorifying Christ. She pours the ointment on his feet and wipes his feet with her hair. Are you there, devoted to Christ, spending for Christ, giving for Christ because you trust him and you love him? Then we have Judas Iscariot, the hypocrite, the self-seeker, the money grubber, the carnal man. Is there such a person listening to me? You're nominally a Christian, but it's insincere. You're a hypocrite. You're a painted hypocrite. Oh, God bring you to true sincerity, a faith in Christ and love for him. And then, of course, we have the crowd of spectators, We have those who believe and those who stifle and reject the evidence and hate the evidence and hate Christ and all to do with him. Your character is there, my friend, and so is mine. I know where I want to be. I want to be in that place where I am utterly committed to Christ, trusting him, loving him, worshipping him, serving him, whatever the cost, whatever men may say of me. All the rest amount to rejection of Christ. Who are you? Where are you, my friend, in this passage? God bring us all, God bring you to that place where you know you trust Christ and you love him and worship him. I urge you to bow the knee, to open the heart, to receive Christ now. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Receive him as your way, truth, life, your Savior, and your salvation. Do it now. Many put their faith in him. May you, I urge you, I urge you, I press you, I plead with you, put your faith in Christ even now. Lord, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I love and worship you. I receive you now as my Savior, my Lord, my God.